Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
I don't want to let this moment go after that song and just be real frank. Do you know you're redeemed? I want to say with all my heart, if we're singing that song and there's any doubt inside your soul, that your entire heart can't step into that song and know, have absolute assurance that you're redeemed. If you were to breathe your last today, that you know you'd be in the arms of your Savior. I plead with you, if there's an ounce of doubt about that, we're here, and ministry team, all of us with these tags will be down here. We'd love to just pray with you. Love to just take you on a little journey, the most glorious journey there ever was, just to say a simple prayer, right, inviting Jesus into our heart to absolutely know. Scriptures say it as clear as it can be. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe the Father raised him from the dead, we are saved. We are redeemed. And our Lord begins a glorious process. The Holy Spirit comes in and does something powerful. And so please don't bolt out of here. Engage your soul. No more important question in all of life than that question. And every one of us, we have to know. The scriptures are very clear again that we're to have the absolute assurance. Faith is the assurance of that hope. Right? So let me encourage you with that. That's why we're here. And I just want to welcome you. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask us. We'd love to just dive in with you. There's also a card in the seat back that Becca and Dan talked about. And before I dive into the message this morning, though, I want us just to pray. Some of you might not know, but we have a couple other churches. We planted out of here down in Glenwood several years ago with Tim and Marina O'Keefe. And Tim still serves as an elder in this church, but he's also leading a group of elders in training down in Glenwood. And this last year, we planted in Houston, Texas with Brent Phillips, who was on our staff for several years. Sandbox Church in Houston, if you're ever down there. And we'll launch that officially, actually, in February. In 2018, but they are leaving this Thursday for a mission trip to South Africa, to Johannesburg, and there are 50 of them going. That's right, 50, and it is quite the trip. So they just asked if we'd lift them up in prayer, and so if you'll just join me this morning, Father, what a joy, God, to see what you're doing in Sandbox Church. Lord, what a joy, Lord, to know that 50 people have stepped out, God, to go and to serve you. Lord, I pray just for unity. I pray for health. I pray for safety. And Lord, I pray for just a bountiful fruit, Lord, incredible testimony. I pray a blessing over North Point Church that will be hosting them there. I pray a blessing over David and his church way out in Brackpan, Lord. God, these folks are going to see things they've never seen. Lord, they're going to get to pray and do ministry they never even imagined they would do. God, I pray you'll increase their faith. Grow them up, Lord, as we're talking about this morning. Lord, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Jeff Claflin, one of ours from here, he's the only Aspenite on that trip, so we're at least representing one there. And but just, gang, if you want to get out and have your life rocked, and everybody needs to, we'll be going to India in September. We'll be going to India next March. Rick and Colleen doing an unbelievable ministry out there, as well as South Africa and other places. Step into it. Step into it, right? So, gang, I want to talk to you. We've been on this journey, G3 Culture, in the off-season here, just kind of talking about some family business, who we are as a church, our DNA, all right? What the building blocks as such of who we are as Crossroads. Everything flows from our three G's, right? Grace, growth, and greater things. We've just been diving into kind of a lot of that, breaking that down, our DNA. And this morning, I want to talk to you about cultivating a culture of equipping. A healthy church is an equipping, sending church. A healthy church cannot be determined by how many seats are filled. A healthy church is defined by how many people are equipped, matured up in the Word of God, and sent out for the glory of God into the marketplace, into the home, around the world. That is a healthy church. And so how do we do this? What is cultivating a culture of equipping where the desire among the congregation, among the community is, man, I just want to grow. I'm ready to strengthen myself, grow up in the Word, grow up in who I am. What does that look like? And we could just name this series, or this morning, I should say, just grow up, right? Just grow up. We all need to grow up. Folks, we need to recover what I'm going to call a vision for maturity. It is lost in our culture today. We need to have a healthy vision of maturity. What it means to grow up. What it is for God to have for us. Again, I've given you plenty of stats in the past when you look at what's happening in our culture today, but we have lost a vision for maturity. We're becoming more immaturity. Adolescence is getting extended every decade about 4 more years. All right, I've said it before, 28 today is the average age of a male who's emancipated, freed on his own, responsible adult. 28 is the average age. Think about that and the consequences of that. Today, sociologists see college not as adults, but see college as extended adolescence. Right, even our policy making, we're extending health benefits and other things on further and further out from the family because we're not growing up. We're not growing up. We've lost what it is to be responsible. We've lost what it is to have a healthy vision of who I'm to become and the glory of what it is to be maturing and growing up. Right, what is taking over is kind of the Peter Pan mentality, and oh boy, our community here knows something about this, right? You hear the language of, I just don't want to grow up. You know, hey folks, that's a problem. It's a problem. And the consequences in our culture today are massive. Right? Those who are not growing up, those who are not being, haven't learned to be responsible. Why is that? We've lost a vision for maturity. We've lost this glorious idea of who I am and what I am becoming. And see, if I don't know, if I'm not secure in who I am and have this healthy vision of, man, this is what God has for me. This is where I'm going in life. Right? A vision to pursue that and go for that. I'm kind of lost. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to take gap year after gap year. Find myself. And the idea of growing up and being responsible, right, and becoming a mature person where I grow into the fullness of what God has for me and I start walking in the path and the will and the calling I have on my life, my unique calling, each of us. God has a unique calling. He's got a unique plan for your life. He's got good things for your life, but we got to grow up into it. I got to take that. I got to move into it. I got to grow. I got to be equipped. I got to have voices in my life. I got to do the discipline, right? It's just no different than anything else in life. If I'm going to go be a doctor, you know what? I got to get busy. I got to get equipped. I got to get responsible and disciplined. It's a long haul. How much more so just in life in general, what God, right, has for us? A vision, folks, for maturity. God has a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life. And every young person desperately needs to know that, be told that, have it blessing over them for that, to know that they're unique and that if they will pursue God's will for their life, if they will grow up and be equipped and put themselves in a disciplined area with God's word and among his people, is that God will do amazing things. How amazing? Folks, the book of Ephesians, it'll be on the screen, but I just encourage you to open up there. I highly encourage you, bring your Bible, bring your journal, be ready for God to speak to you. And I hope this week you'll dive into this amazing book. In the first 3 chapters of it, Paul is laying out the unbelievable promises of God, what God has done for us, these amazing things that God has done for us, what it means to be redeemed. And then he's been talking about all this theology of what is available to us for the taking by faith. What does that look like? And then the last chapters 4, 5, and 6, there's a transition and he starts moving into the more practical aspects of man, how do I flesh this out? How do I grow up? What does it look like in the body of Christ, the family of God, for us to encourage and push each other on for that glorious vision of maturity of how we're to grow up and what our eyes to be set on? And the transition from the first section into the second session is verses 20 and 21 of chapter 3. Let me read this. Folks, listen, soak it into your heart. And this is what he says. Now to him, to God, who is able to do far more abundantly, exceeding abundantly, than all that we could ask or all that we could think, according to the power that is at work within us, the Holy Spirit. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. It's one of my favorite verses. Folks, have you ever down? You ever beaten yourself up? Ephesians 3:20. God is able, more than able. Not only is he able, he desires to do more in your life than you could ever ask him, than you could ever expect of him. He is there. That's his heart. That's the Father's heart for you. Well, how is he going to do it? He's going to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are redeemed, the promise is the filling of the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, defeated the power of death and sin, is the same Spirit that will come into your soul and start working with our spirit in this glorious fellowship to start growing us up. There is no mountain, there is no struggle, there is nothing in our lives. Folks, it's time for God's people to rise up in faith and take hold of the promises of God and apply them. It doesn't need to be some long journey of thinking through it. It comes right down to a simple question, crisis of faith in my life. Am I going to take that truth of God and I'm going to stand upon that, or am I going to doubt and am I going to listen to the ways of the world? Now to him who is able to do in your life, in my life, more than we could ever ask, more than we could ever imagine, exceeding abundantly by the power of the Spirit of God. To him be the glory. Paul's saying, church, come on, do you realize? Read the first chapters, what he's done for you. The process of what he's done to redeem you. And he didn't redeem you, he didn't save you to just keep you normal and to keep you in the bondage and to keep you in the place in life that you were. He has a vision for you, a vision of maturity, a vision to grow up, a vision to go after, to have the assurance that you're a child of God, the assurance that no one can snatch you out of his hands, the assurance that your wildest dreams are nothing compared to what God desires to do in your life. But we got to grow up. And I got to be willing to step into it and allow my life to be nurtured and equipped and spoken into by others. What about your vision of maturity? What does it look like? Parents, how critical is this? If as a father I'm not sure of my assurance of redemption, if I'm not sure of how God sees me, if I'm not sure of where God is taking me in my calling, and if I'm not stepping into it and being equipped, how can I pass this? How can I answer the deepest questions that my children have? How can I assure them that God has a glorious purpose for them? How can I lead them towards this calling, this glorious calling in Christ Jesus? Folks, God has so much for us. It's for the taking by faith. Now, I wish I had time we could be here and just go through the book of Ephesians and just build your faith up to see. You know, verse 3, let me just give one. Verse 3, chapter 1 says that you, each of you, has been blessed in the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm, with every spiritual gift. How many of you are taking that promise to the bank? God, you said it. I'm ready to walk in the gifts you have for me. It doesn't just happen. It's like anything in life. You got to go. It takes responsibility. It takes faith. God, help me be equipped. Let me just step into your church. Let me receive those blessings, those promises. I want this life, God. I want this life. So let me just read chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Let it just sink in. This is where Paul starts. He gets some high, lofty language because he's all excited. And he moves it down to very practical, foundational stuff of how the church should be structured, how the church should work, how this equipping should work. How do we encourage each other? How does this growth, how does this vision of maturity get a hold of each of our lives? Why is it so critical to be a part of the body? Remember, we're going to read, it says Christ is the head of the church, right? He's the head of the church. He's the head of the body, right? The whole analogy in Scripture is it's the body, and each member is doing its work. How can we be connected to the head if I'm not a part of the body? I want you to think about that. American individualism is killing people and their vision for maturity because we've been sold a lie, and some of us believed it, that, you know what, I can grow up and not be connected to the body of Christ. There's no option for that. The only way to be connected to the head, to Christ himself, is to be a part of the body and to grow up in what each of our unique contributions and gifts are to serve and make the whole thing healthy. That's what this is all about. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Remember, Paul wrote this from jail, chained for the gospel of Christ. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Church, do you realize what you've been called to? Do you realize what God has done for you? Do you realize life lived under the freedom, because the bondage and power of sin has been defeated by Christ's resurrection, and the power of death, the fear of death, has been defeated? He's called you into abundant life. God wants to walk with you. He wants to bless you more than you ever, ever imagined. So church, walk in a manner worthy. In other words, grow up into everything God has for you. Don't waste your life fluttering around, trying to find meaning, trying to find a vision of growth and maturity. God has it for you. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Church should model unity and deference to each other and forgiveness of each other and reconciliation with each other. The watching world should see the family of God, how we love each other, forgive each other, walk alongside each other, how I'm willing to put down my issues for the sake of the unity of the family. There's one body, there's one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over and through all in all. But grace, look at verse 7, was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Don't miss this. The word in the Greek is charis, that means grace. And it is part of the word that is charisma, which is a gift. And the charismata, the spiritual gifts. It's all by God's grace. He desires to constantly pour out gifts into your life to help you and help me grow up into what he has for us, and for us to use these gifts to what? To build each other up, to push each other on for what God has for us. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, speaking of Jesus, and he gave gifts to men. Paul is using this, again, the little bit removed for us, so we have to do a little study, is Paul is using a military term here. Remember, back in this culture and with the Romans, when a general would have a victory, they'd have a big parade, right? And they would have the prisoners in chains behind them, and they'd throw out gifts to the people. And Paul is using this same illustration to say Jesus has a victory. The captives that he has taken captive, or the dark forces of this world, the Spirit of God has entered, and he has poured out in his ascension back to the right hand of the Father. He's poured out gifts on his church, on his people, right, to grow up into the fullness. So his church should be the lighthouse of forgiveness and blessing in the world. Verse 9 says, in saying he ascended, what does it mean? That he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth. In other words, Christ's coming, his incarnation to the earth, born part of our human, so he could come and save us. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now here it is, he's getting practical. What are these gifts, part of these gifts he's given? Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? To equip the saints, that's us, for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain, here it is, the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to, fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. He wants us to grow up mature. Rather, speaking the truth in love as we grow up into the maturity of what God has for us. We're to learn to speak truth to each other in love. We're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, that's each of us, is working properly, making the whole body, the whole family grow as it builds itself up in love. Folks, I'm just going to scratch the surface here. I encourage you to dive in. Dive in. But folks, the whole premise of this, as we can see, is this aspect of building each other up in love, speaking the truth in love. We're to mature. We're to start being equipped to spiritually mature our lives. We get greater clarity on who we are, greater clarity on what God has for us, His will, His purpose, His calling in our life. And as we do that, we are to be growing. We're all at different stages along the way to be speaking truth in love to each other. Now, this is important when it comes to understanding what love is. And I ask you, just this is a powerful question, staggering how many of us have never really dove in. What is love? And I encourage you just to, and I do this all the time, just encourage you to have a dialogue with people. What is love? It's amazing how many people will go to the altar in marriage and they have no clue what love really is. Most people in the world today, they cannot go much further than love is a feeling. We were in love, we were out of love. Love means I need to care for you. That's about as far as it goes. Right? But everybody's talking about love, right? So let me give you a fuller definition of love, okay? Because the scripture is very clear. God is love. And love that He desires to have flourish in the body and move out to the world is a love, and this is what it is. It is willing God's best for another. Right? It's not just caring for them. It's not just feeling good about them. It is speaking the truth, God's plan for that person into their life. That's real love. It's not enabling them. Oh boy, isn't that popular today? Nobody wants to say anything because, oh, we don't want any conflict. Heaven forbid. We step into a situation and really say the truth, what needs to be said into this person's life. Speaking the truth, it should be different in the body of Christ, is we speak the truth. Why? Because we love each other and we don't want to see each other make a step that is going to hurt our life. Speaking the truth in love is calling out the word of God, the blessing of God, and speaking it over somebody. Willing to say the hard things. And folks, every one of us needs that. We need the word of rebuke every now and then. We need the word of strong exhortation in our life. And we all need the word of encouragement. But we all need those who are pushing us on to this calling, more clarity on this best life that God has for us. That's love. Speaking the truth in love. As we grow up into this mature manhood and womanhood, into the fullness of who we are, we learn. Right now, we know what it is that God is doing in our soul, and we're looking to the Word of God to give us, to lay hold of these promises, and what we want is the best for somebody else, the best for our children, the best for our friends, and the best is God's will. It's His promises. It's His blessings. It's His course. That is speaking the truth in love, and that has to be fleshed out in the body, and each of us have different gifts that we need to serve each other, to love each other that way, to speak things, to teach all these things that we're looking at. We need these things, right, in our life. So why? Why should we grow up? Right, you hear that all the time, don't you? From yourself? Why should I grow up? Right? And many young children, at some point or another, they'll say that, you know, I'd much rather sit around and play some more video games. I'd much rather just kind of, you know, not do anything. I'd much rather avoid responsibility and avoid commitment. Folks, we've gone to at least two generations that don't understand responsibility, don't understand commitment, who are entitled. And that now has rolled into how they do family and treat others and treat their work and everything else in our society. Is that growing up means I got to learn to be responsible. I got to learn to what commitment is all about. And folks, let's just say it. This town is terrible when it comes to commitment. Because, you know, I got to leave the calendar open. You know, powder day might happen or something might happen, right? Folks, being responsible and growing up is being a person of you, where your yes is yes, your no is no, growing up into a sense of embracing commitment, embracing responsibility. That is better. We all know we're to grow up, and that's why, as parents, that we are to teach our children responsibility. But, you know, oftentimes, the parent might not know and be able to answer adequately that child's question of, why should I grow up? It's a profound question. How do you think our society would answer that question? Why? Because, you know what? We, as a culture, are doing just about everything we can do to enable people to not grow up and take personal responsibility. And it's going to have a detrimental effect in the workforce, in our culture, in relationships, everything else. You were made to mature. You were made to grow up. Maturity is 1,000 times better than immaturity. Immaturity will rob, steal, kill. It will mess your life up. At every place, apply it anywhere. Friendships, work, relationships, on and on and on. Immaturity will ruin you. It will keep you from excelling at anything and everything. Maturity is always better. But more than anything, why should we grow up? It's because, folks, God has a plan for you. He didn't redeem you to keep you a child. He didn't redeem you to keep you where you're at, just kind of going through life, existing. He's got great things for you. Great things. And it's just like a parent with a child that says, man, you got to grow up. You got to get responsible. You got to work at those grades. You got to, you know, get a little work over here and do all this, because you know what? You've got your whole life ahead of you. These things are going to pave a way for you to have all kinds of beautiful, incredible opportunities. It's the same thing God is doing in your life. His child, come to me. Let's get equipped. Let the body of Christ come around you, equip you for the fullness of what I have for you, because, man, I've got some adventure for you. And folks, let me just tell you something. This is just training ground. For all eternity, God has adventures and calling and growth and maturity for all of us. God is eternal. His goodness and everything can never be exhausted. For all eternity, we're going to be learning more about God, learning more about ourselves, growing, stewarding his creation in a glorious fellowship. He's got to get us ready for that. Got to get a vision of maturity. Man, he has a plan for your life. And it's laid out here. Paul's laid it out. He's laid out the glorious first part of this, and now he's fleshing out. And here's how it needs to happen. This is why, if you want to be connected to the head, if you want to be connected to the will of God, you got to be connected to his son. And to grow up into the promises of Jesus for your life, you got to be connected to the body. You got to be connected to the family of God to let your gifts come alive, to be encouraged. Right? We all need that, as I said before, because, oh, we are prone to wander, aren't we? You with me? We're prone to wander, trying to find life and satisfaction in 1,000 different things out there in the world. Let me tell you, I've wandered about wherever you can wander, okay? I give you, with all my heart and all my soul, I plead with you this morning, come to God. Come to Jesus the head. What he has for your life is exceeding abundantly, so far beyond what you could ever create on your own or whatever the world tries to sell you. God's way is the best. And that's why he redeemed you. He wants to grow you up. He's got great things for you. But you can't walk in them if you're immature. Now I want to blow your mind. Right now, I want to blow your mind. I want to just leave you with something really to wrestle with, okay? I'm going to make a generalization. Most of us, those of us who grew up in the church, when we read this chapter and we say that God, the gifts that Jesus gave to build his church up, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers, most all of us have grown up saying, oh, yeah, all those guys, they did it. That's good. That's good for them. And most of all, us grew up and we lit the hierarchy of the church and the leadership, you know, do all the baptism and the teaching and all the work of the ministry, everything that happens up on stage or at the altar or whatever it may be. Folks, I want to blow your mind. Do you realize that is not God's intent? God's intent is that some of you move in the apostolic gift. For a healthy church, some of you need to move into the prophetic gift. Some of you need to move into the evangelistic gift. Some of you need to move into the shepherding pastor gift. Some of you need to move into the teaching gift. Why? So that you will grow up and so that you will bless the church and the church will grow up. It was never to be a hierarchy of a level of priesthood or anything. You will find it nowhere in this scripture. There'll be many, and most of us, I'll make another generalization, have grown up under a theology that says, hey, the apostles, that was just the 12 and Paul, nobody else. True, when it comes to the eyewitnesses of Jesus, there'll never be anybody who replaces the 12, right? Those who wrote scripture and the over the 500 who were eyewitnesses. But Paul makes it clear in this letter that the church cannot be healthy without an apostolic gift. The apostolic gift is that one who's concerned about the foundation of the church, the theology, the doctrine, right? The direction of the church that is hearing from God, all those foundational things so the house can be built on a healthy foundation. If they needed it back then, that gift to build and plant healthy churches, how much more do we need it now? I'm going to say something big. I want you to listen to it. God is doing something profound in our day and age. He's restoring the gifts back to the church. What has happened in all of our lifetime, and I will say even go back millennia, is we've still been in the dark ages, and we have created denominations, we've created hierarchy of religious people who we've relied on to do things. Never was that God's intent. And what that has done is it has kept God's gifts, his blessing, and his growing up away from God's people. The best way to plant churches, to multiply healthy churches, is when God's people, right, recover these glorious gifts, right? And all the other gifts, all the other spiritual gifts that are available, right, to God's people. It is impossible to have a healthy church without the apostolic gifting. If there is not people there who know the Word of God, love doctrine, love the Scriptures, and who are constantly thinking about the foundation of, man, how are decisions made here? What is the truth of God being, and is God's voice being heard here? You will not have a healthy church. This is why denominations in America today are dying, and will be dead before we die. They missed it, and they've abused it. But God is restoring to his people today. It is a phenomenal time to be living. Phenomenal. What he wants to do, some of you here this morning, God has this apostolic gift for you. He has it for you. Some of you here, he has the prophetic gift. Remember, Paul elevated that gift above all gifts. He said everybody should pursue the gift of prophecy. Why? The beginning of that is just simply, I come into church, I want to encourage somebody. Who can I encourage? The gift of prophecy comes alive when you say, God, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to this person? I'm available. Give me a word. Anybody here had a prophetic word spoken over them just at the right time that blessed your soul? Come on, more than that. There you go. That's more like it. Folks, you see those hands? Ask them to give your testimony. A timely prophetic word into your life at a crossroads in your life. It's profound. Take somebody off the narrow track, put you on the broad path of what God is doing powerfully in your life. These are available for the taking by faith. And the only way we're going to plant more churches is if you get an apostolic calling on your life, if you get a pastoral calling on your life. Some of you are shepherds. You don't know it. You got the pastoral gift. You love rallying people together. Your heart, right, is to shepherd and have grace and mercy over people and journey with them. Ask God to make you a shepherd for his church. Some of you are concerned not about so much about the people in here, but you're concerned about the folks out here in the bars. You're concerned about people out here who are in bondage to alcoholism. You're concerned about the people out here who are shooting up with heroin even this weekend. Those are the people you love, and you don't know, but you're an evangelist. And you need to ask God, God, give me a love, give me an anguish for those people to not just step out and care for them, but give me the words that pierce into their soul, break off that bondage, and set them free. We need some evangelists around here. You just have to ask God. He will pour out abundantly more than you could ever ask, more than you could ever imagine. You with me? All right. How are we going to do it? Folks, I'm running out of time. Four things here at Crossroads. Let me just encourage you. It starts here, Next Steps classes. The journey of equipping. If you haven't stepped in, Dan does an unbelievable job. I give you a money-back guarantee on that class. Okay? Money-back guarantee. It's phenomenal. Okay? Next step is that he helps nurture your questions. And folks, hear my heart here. If you have a theological question about anything I say, anything this church is founded on, if you have any questions at all, we're here to journey with you. Don't just walk out the door and have all these questions and not ask us. We want to process that with you. Next Steps is the first place to do that. Okay? And then after that is Renew Ministries, folks. We have so many people serving other married couples with Re-Engage. It's just phenomenal. Renew, personal counseling, premarital counseling stuff. Amazing. People using their gifts to serve you. What's available is incredible. To get us whole and hopeful so we can move on to the next stage of equipping our E4 classes, folks. This is seminary level equipping with the Word of God and the Scriptures so that you can be all that God created you to be. And folks, we just sent, Beck and Bryant took the Groffs, we just sent a team of, let me just be very clear with you, not vocational ministers. Business place, marketplace people equipped with the Word of God, sent them down to Houston. They spent a week equipping our sandbox church. It's not the professionals, it's you. It's the marketplace people that need to come into all that God has for you. You don't have to look at this as two separate things. It never was meant to be. God's church is healthy when God's people come into their gifts. And the fullness of that. The final thing is A2, Acts 2 groups. This is just taking what's going on right here, breaking it down in Snowmass, a smaller group, Mid-Valley, smaller group, and in Aspen. It's the way for us to turn over ministry to you, to grow in your apostolic teaching, evangelistic shepherding, right? Your encouraging gift, your prophetic gift, all these kind of things. This is where life gets really exciting. When you know the living Spirit of God is moving, maturing you, growing you up, making you feel uncomfortable because you got to rely on Him. I just ask you to pray that God would speak to you and move you on this course and restore in your life this glorious vision of maturity. Oh, He has so much. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that benediction, those glorious words, now to you, God, who's able to do exceeding abundantly, far beyond what we could ever imagine. According to your power that's working within us, Lord, restore in our hearts this vision of maturity. Lord, you want to grow us up. Let us take those steps of faith, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.